You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company once again here with William Hill as we look forward to a good week of golf. We've got the WGC Workday Championship and we'll have a quick glance at the Puerto Rico Open as well. As ever, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall, your co-hosts on this podcast, to look ahead to the action this week. First of all, good morning to you, Dave Tindall.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to the week of golf. I enjoyed last week. I think Riviera is just a sensational venue to host a golf tournament, and it rarely disappoints. And this year, no different. Max Homer winning. Local boy done good. Twitter favourite, Max Homer, getting the better of Tony Finau in the playoff. And hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company once again here with William Hill as we look forward to a good week of golf. We've got the WGC Workday Championship and we'll have a quick glance at the Puerto Rico Open as well. As ever, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall, your co-hosts on this podcast, to look ahead to the action this week. First of all, good morning to you, Dave Tindall.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to the week of golf. I enjoyed last week. I think Riviera is just a sensational venue to host a golf tournament, and it rarely disappoints. And this year, no different. Max Homer winning. Local boy done good. Twitter favourite, Max Homer, getting the better of Tony Finau in the playoff. And I think every single year when I watch Riviera, it gets better and better. It's just a wonderful golf course and always provides exciting finishes.
Yeah, and a particularly exciting one this year, obviously, with Homer looking like he'd blown it and then getting it done in the playoff. I had a little flashback to 2001. Were you watching golf then, or were you in nappies?
That was just about the time I was starting to watch golf.
Right. I was lucky enough to go to the 2001 US Open at Southern Hills in Tulsa, and Retief Goosen had two putts to win from 10 feet and he three putted. I don't know if you remember the one he missed.
No, I can't.
He had a two footer to win and he shoved it to the right. So when Homer did that, I thought, oh, it's like that. But the thing that mainly sticks in that was, well, two things. One, I'd got a flight home the next morning, which wasn't ideal for an 18-hole playoff. So I flew home and then got to wherever it was, Heathrow, and had no idea what had happened. So I think I remember asking some bloke who seemed to be looking on his phone. Unless did mobile phones exist then? Could you look at golf scores? Maybe I've misremembered that, but I asked a bloke who looked like he might know the result. I don't quite know how I gauged that, but it seemed a bit odd having been out there to cover the event. I had no idea who'd won and was asking people.
Just going up to the first guy with a polo shirt on.
Yeah, who were the US Open? I don't know what you mean, mate. So I remember that, but obviously when I'd seen him miss that putt, and it was like an absolute horror moment. I thought, oh no, the poor guy. That's how are you going to recover from that? So when I asked someone, I fully expected them to say, well, it was Mark Brooks. And whoever it was just said, oh, Goosen won it. I thought, blimey, that's some mental toughness. And I guess Max Homer showed the same.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that because he's got, I think, his best friend as caddy on the bag, that they were saying even before the playoff, not to be concerned about Max Homer because his caddy will calm him down and get him to refocus. And he managed to do that in the playoff. He had a couple of moments on the 10th hole throughout the week that produced moments of brilliance, really. He said afterwards that the shot next to the tree wasn't anywhere near as difficult as the bunker shot. And I must admit that that bunker shot really stands out. One of the shots of the week, really, from about 40 yards to even hold that green and then make birdie there. But he struck the ball brilliantly, I thought, on Sunday. And take nothing away from Tony Finau as well, a 64 in the mix. Couldn't have done much more, really.
No, I mean, Finau's had different ways of doing it in the final round, but this time, you thought this was the one maybe where not everyone was looking at him going into the final day, and then he comes through with a fast finish. But maybe that's what calmed Max Homer down when he said, who am I in a playoff with? Tony Finau. All right, okay. But poor old Tony, 3 second. Well, not poor old Tony, because I don't think he's feeling sorry for himself. I think he's enjoying being in contention, challenging for big prizes and winning loads of money. I mean, 3 seconds in his last three tournaments, some going.
He's just not had much luck, has he, really, if we're being honest about things. And I'm sure, even though people will still question his resolution in the heat of battle, I think he's going to win multiple PGA Tour tournaments. And I don't think I'm alone in that view either, Dave. He's going to challenge for more titles before the year is out, definitely.
Well, look at him in the majors this year. I mean, you've got Kiawah Island, kind of long course by the coast, which is what he likes. You've got the US Open at Torrey Pines, where he's got a fantastic record, second there a few weeks ago. He's done really well in the Open Championship as well, so he might play well at Royal St. George's. Plus, he's always a price, isn't he, in majors? I mean, looking around, you can get, you know, some decent prices on him. 35s, 40s maybe. So Tony Finau, yeah, that, by no means write him off as damaged goods. He can still win you plenty of money.
Yeah, and if people are backing him each way, they're in rude health at the moment, aren't they, really?
Yeah, top five, top ten, whatever, yeah.
We grabbed a full place last week with Matt Fitzpatrick as well, which was good.
Yeah, well done to you, yeah.
Yeah, 66-1. I thought he was, he was in contention going into that final round, just a couple back of Sam Burns, but it never really played out as I hoped it would on Sunday. Didn't birdie the first and bogeyed the second. And once you're doing that when players are going out and shooting numbers, to be honest, I wanted similar conditions to those the players encountered on Saturday to materialise on Sunday, in all honesty, yeah. Because I thought that gave Fitzpatrick the best chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, he was great around the greens, wasn't he? And yeah, I thought he played great for, what was he, 66-1? So another big big tournament for him, and he's really impressed, didn't he? Won the DP Tour Championship at the end of last year. I think a win on American soil is getting closer and closer for Matt Fitzpatrick.
Let's get stuck into this week then, Mr. Tindall. The WGC Workday Championship is the big event this week, and Dustin Johnson is the 13-2 favourite. John Rahm is 10-1, Rory McIlroy 16-1, Xander Schauffele 16-1, Patrick Cantlay and Justin Thomas, both 18-1. Bryson DeChambeau is 20s. Tyrrell Hatton, 20-1. Tony Finau, 20-1. Victor Hovland, 22-1. Brooks Koepka, 25-1. Daniel Berger, Patrick Reed, Webb Simpson, all 28s, 33-1 and bigger the rest. It's difficult to find an angle in this week. We have to start with the course, because for this WGC, we don't have much of a clue about A, who's going to be suited by this golf course, and B, what the course is like, really, either, Dave. Obviously, due to COVID, we've got a change in location for this first WGC of the year. And instead of the players travelling to Mexico, the tour stopping off in Florida, with the Concession Golf Club hosting a PGA Tour event for the first time. It's no cut. It's a brilliantly strong field. The course is a Jack Nicklaus, Tony Jacklin co-design, measuring 7,474 yards, plays to a par of 72, and the only real course history we have in recent times anyway is that the fact this course hosted the 2015 NCAA championship, which Bryson DeChambeau won. Personally, I've been looking at the course flyover to get a look at the venue, and you'll see water is in play on maybe a dozen holes, and it's heavily bunkered, this layout as well. And I listened to the Shotgun Start podcast a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if it's a podcast you listen to, Dave, with a couple of US journalists, a terrific podcast. And one of the co-hosts was saying that this course is going to divide opinion, and the players are going to be conflicted with it. And it's going to be a really tough test this week. And I'm waiting to see if that plays out.
Yeah, I had a dig around for stuff from that 2015 NCAA, which, as you said, DeChambeau won. I think I mentioned it last week, didn't I? As a little looker, tip ahead. I found some stuff from Andy Bean, the former Ryder Cup player, who's a member at Concession.
Okay.
He was very much focusing on short game. Just to pick out a quote, he said, I think you just have to have imagination, like Phil Mickelson. He's got all types of shots to get the ball up and down, and they're going to have to learn not just a flop shot, you're going to have to learn bump and runs. If the wind is blowing, it can be really, really difficult. You've got to golf your ball around here, and you've got to have a good short game. So I think the greens, there's lots of kind of slopes and sections to them. So I think I quite like that quote as a something to sort of cling on to in terms of what you might be looking for. Those with a imaginative short game, perhaps they play well at Augusta before.
Did you look at comparisons with other Florida courses? I had a look with Bermuda Grass Greens, obviously, this week. And I had a look at Bay Hill, PGA National, which hosts the Honda. And yeah. I guess we know from the last few years of that event in Palm Beach, in the Honda Classic, when the wind whips up, something you just mentioned a few moments ago, scoring can be difficult. So I looked at Florida courses for potential comparisons and, of course, Jack Nicklaus designs as well.
Yeah, the kind of Jack Nicklaus design angle normally, isn't it, is that he gives you a bit of room off the tee. So that makes you less frightened of those who maybe can't keep it down the straight and narrow as much as you want to. But I've got three picks.
I have three picks as well. Yeah. Do you want to lead off this week?
We'll have some crossover.
Potentially.
I do. Well, I'm going to, I know it sounds really kind of, oh, he's won there before, I'm going to back him again, but I'm going to go in for DeChambeau, because I think we said last week, didn't we, at 16-1, is he not a bit drifting away to prices where you think he might be good? He's 20-1 here, which, you know, where that in the betting, what is he? He's not in the top six in the betting, is he?
Yeah. Seventh in, and I must admit, Dave, I've not selected a player from the top end of the market, but if I was to go for one, those top, say top nine in the betting, given that we've got nine players at 20-1 or under this week here with William Hill. By the way, we're top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying seven places as well, which is good for a limited field, no-cut event. So do bear that in mind, and some real rags in the field this week as well. He would be the one for me, DeChambeau, okay. 20-1.
Yeah, okay. So obviously there's positive course memories, but from those quotes I read out, good short game and kind of, you know, you've got to strike the ball well. I looked at strokes gained around the green and strokes gained approach as two areas. I mean, DeChambeau, excuse me, is 15th in approach and 18th around the green, so he's really high up in two of those key categories. I guess people will maybe have tuned into the Saudi International and saw him hitting it all over the place and think, oh, maybe not. I mean, he was tied 18th there. Then, of course, he missed the cut last week and hit, I think, six fairways. And again, you're thinking, I'm not so sure. But as we've said, a bit more room on this Nicklaus course, a bit more room in the fairways. And I always think it's a better kind of sequence when you miss a cut to have shot the better round on the Friday. It's quite an obvious thing to say, but
yeah.
Shot 75-69. And in that round 69, he gained 3.228 strokes around the green. So performing well in the area where I think you're going to need to on this course. Hopefully he can just find it a bit straighter off the tee. And then when it comes to the Bermuda putting surfaces, I think that might help him a little bit more. You mentioned Bay Hill as one. He was his last start in Florida, DeChambeau, he was fourth at Bay Hill. So it's kind of looking at the price and then starting to build a case that suggests, hang on, that 20 is kind of leaning too much on what you've seen very, very recently. I think he can, you know, all these great golfers can bounce back quick. And I think if he can tinker with the right thing, I think he's got every chance here.
Yeah, I agree. I'd echo all your sentiments there with DeChambeau. I think 20-1 is more than a fair price this week each way, given we are paying those seven places as well and the top price guaranteed on the top 10. So 20-1 is as good as you're going to get. And I like that price on DeChambeau this week. Double the price for me, my first selection, 40-1, Tommy Fleetwood. I like it. You're just used to seeing Fleetwood in the market at 25s or 33s in these events. So I'm happy with the 40s this week. He's not been at his best, but is his form really that bad? I don't think so. He's only finished outside the top 30 once in his last six starts. Tied for 7th in Abu Dhabi and tied for 17th in the Dubai Desert Classic. Those were very decent results. I'm leaning on ball striking on a course we are guessing to, guessing about to a certain extent. And I'm looking at that Florida link as well with a glance at those Nicholas designs. And Fleetwood ranks third tee to green in his last 50 measured rounds on the courses that I like as links. I've put those in on Fantasy National, their website, if you use that. Third at the Honda last year in the Florida Swing. Third at the Arnold Palmer in Florida 2 years ago as well. Got a good bank of form in this part of the world. And I think he's overpriced this week, Tommy Fleetwood, at 40-1. I expect him to play well and contend this week in a WGC. We know he can contend on US soil as well. So 40-1, Tommy Fleetwood's my top selection this week.
Yeah, I like Fleetwood this week, but I'm not picking him. I'm going to go for... You see, this is when you think one of these prices must be wrong, because my second pick is Patrick Reed at, 28, yeah. Now, you're saying Fleetwood has kind of always gone close. He's hinted at winning. Well, Patrick Reed's done loads of winning in massive events in America, and yet... You know, he's 28. I know he's shorter than Fleetwood, but absolutely proven beyond belief. And he's 28-1, and he's bigger than some players like Schauffele, Cantlay, Tony Finau, Hovland, who haven't got anything like the CV he's got, Patrick Reed. I think the thing that initially alerted me to him when there was talk by Andy Bean of that creative short game, that immediately sets off a Patrick Reed klaxon, doesn't it, when you've got to be creative around the greens, because he's got all those shots, as he's shown at Augusta National. He's also got some fantastic history in this event. It's a bit odd, because you're kind of thinking it's not this event, because he won at Doral and the WGC Mexico at Chapultepec. And technically, that's this tournament, isn't it? Even though it's at different venues under different names. But I think the kind of bottom line was they were WGC events and he's won them, and he does keep winning big events. We've seen another sign of that very recently when he won the Farmers Insurance at Torrey Pines. He was first in strokes gain around the green in that California event, just to highlight the point I've been saying about that magic in his wrists.
Yeah.
Just loves it, doesn't he? Absolutely loves it going up against these big names. And again, the angle of Jack Nicklaus giving him a bit more room off the tee, that's absolutely Patrick Reed will want that. I just think the course could be perfect for him. So, you add in his record in this sort of event, and I thought 28, you can't miss it.
I like it. 28-1, Patrick Reed. I'd have a guess at your third selection. I'll do that in a second. But I'm going with Justin Rose. At 55-1 is my second selection, yeah. I'm taking a chance that he's back and he's going to perform this week, which is a chance I think worth taking at 55-1. He's won on the Nicholas Design in the past at the Memorial. Admittedly, that was a decade ago now. Ball striking was really good at Saudi. And you wouldn't ever think you'd get Justin Rose at 55-1 on the back of a tied second place finish in an event with some strength in depth, the one that Dustin Johnson won in Saudi. I'm not sure people believe yet with Rose, and I just believe the Euros are being overlooked in this event. Rose is superb on tough layouts historically. Really good form in Florida. Puts Bermuda grass greens well. And he scrambles well when he's at his best, Rose. And I thought it was definitely worth a few quid this week at 55-1. So he's my second selection this week.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a bit of a leap of faith, doesn't it, I think?
Yeah, he's kind of on my, naughty step or something. He's not in my mind as someone to look at the moment. He hasn't convinced, even though, as you've just said, he's done some decent stuff of late. Maybe I'm writing him off too soon, but yeah, like you say, in Florida, he's got a fantastic record, so 55s. Yeah. I think maybe an American equivalent would be a bit less in the betting, possibly. But go on and guess my third pick.
I think you've gone with Cameron Smith.
No.
Oh. I'll just mention Cameron Smith very, very quickly, because obviously we know that we spoke about this with Smith last week, didn't we? I think we were close to mentioning maybe having a bet on Smith, but his form wasn't that good coming in, wasn't it? But we mentioned that link with Augusta. We talk about him tending to excel on difficult golf courses. And historically in his career, I know he's only been around a few years really at the top level, he tends to string his performances back to back. And he's got an incredible short game, Cameron Smith. And that's why I thought, given your comments about Andy Bean and leaning on short game this week, he might have been the third selection.
Yeah, he might have been like the fourth or fifth if I had five picks. But at 40-1, put me off compared to someone on the same rung, I think, or better at 50s. And it's for your boy, Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I was very close to going with him. I'm glad you've picked him, to be honest, Dave, because I even said on last week's podcast, maybe if he doesn't produce this week in the Genesis in California, watch out for Fitzpatrick when we go to Florida.
Yeah, I wondered if you might be taking that stance. Well, he was 66 last week and he's 50-1 in a stronger field. I can't quite.
Yeah, I think 50-1 is fine. I've not selected him as one of my three picks, but I think 50-1 is fine this week. I don't think you could be any bigger really about Fitzpatrick this week, given how he performed last week and his form in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I could have. I kind of went in and sort of was preparing to wince that he might be 40s or worse. And there he was at 50s. I thought, that's absolutely fine. Obviously, as you say, played great last week in a tie for fifth, landed you the each way money there. The short game, just had a check on that. You presume it's going to be good. And it absolutely was good. He was third for strokes going around the green at Riviera. So that was great. You've mentioned, I mean, given all these things you've mentioned, I can't believe you've not picked him in the end. So. Last two times at Bay Hill, second and ninth, Fitzpatrick, which is really good. And I looked at his strokes gain putting figures in Florida, and he's been positive in eight of the last nine, and generally, you know, quite into the positive. So, you know, he's going to putt well, you would think. And the other thing, maybe I hadn't quite twigged until I checked, was he's got a very, very good record in WGC events of late. We're seven each way places this week. He would have landed the each way money three of the last four, which maybe passed me by a little bit. So he's tied sixth and fourth at St Jude and seventh at the HSBC. So can really cut it in these big events. He's been landing the each way money. Comes in here off that top five last week, which was an excellent effort at Riviera. He'd only played there once before. Just in a good place, as I said before, he'd won the DP World Tour Championship at the back end of last year. Really, really full of confidence, Matt Fitzpatrick. Needs that first win on American soil, as a few, you know, like Tommy Fleetwood, who haven't had that yet. But at 50-1, I think he could be the one to maybe make that breakthrough as the next Englishman.
Very good, Matthew Fitzpatrick. 50-1, Dave's third selection. I'm taking some people might think I've taken a flyer already with Justin Rose, but I'm taking a real flyer. With the third selection, Gary Woodland is my third pick here at 125-1. He's putting so disastrously bad at the moment that it does take a leap of faith. But I'm hoping that the return to Bermuda grass greens will help him. And his ball striking was really good last week. He only had two rounds, but he gained four strokes tee to green last week, despite missing the cut. And his best form in the last year has definitely come in Florida, eighth at the Honda, fifth at the Workday at Muirfield Village. And let's not forget, a few starts back, he was 16th at the Amex. He's shown enough of a glimmer for me to suggest that he can get into the mix. Shows his best on difficult golf courses. And I just thought it was worth throwing a few quid on Gary Woodland at 125-1 each way this week, Dave.
It's a big old price, isn't it?
It is for a US Open winner.
Yeah. I remember his first win came in Florida, didn't it? Back in the day. So, yeah, big price. Any others at big prices you looked at?
I looked at Sergio Garcia. Really interests me this week. Ball striking good again last week. Missed the cut, but I thought Garcia would go well. Again, if you're leaning heavily on that form in Florida, I thought Garcia would perform well. And I've got to mention Colin Morikawa. Two of his three wins have come on Nicholas Designs. Won the Workday, obviously, last year. Approach play was very good last week. Putting in round four in particular was just horrific, really. That just maybe just off putting enough, but I still don't believe he gets the respect he's due, Morikawa, even though 35-1 is probably just about right.
Yeah. Kind of using that line on someone else doesn't quite get the respect they. You know, they should. I think Christian Buzin, who will challenge somewhere in a big event, pretty soon. He's 90 to 1. Maybe he hasn't quite flashed that incredible form that he showed at the back end of last year, but he's not done too much wrong. He was 12th in Abu Dhabi, 22nd Dubai, not so good in Saudi after a poor final round. But he's only played in Florida once, and he was 18th at Bay Hill. So I think unless he does something really obvious, I think you can get him at some big prices, and he'll pop up somewhere in a big event sooner rather than later. That's my guess with him.
Yeah, I think he's one maybe if you're looking at a top 10, top 20 this week.
Yeah.
Bezuidenhout, and if you are leaning heavily on short game, he's a bit of a master, isn't he, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was ranked first at Saudi, even though he wasn't great at Saudi. He was first around the green, so he's got those shots.
Yeah, 90 to 1 for him. What did you make to the we've not really talked about those guys at the head of the betting, Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, McIlroy, Schauffele, Cantlay and Thomas. Not mentioned any of them yet, Dave. I know you've gone with DeChambeau up there at 20 to 1. Were any of those six tempting?
They weren't, to be honest, really. I mean, Thomas said it was a horror show last week, wasn't it, for Thomas? Missed the cut by a mile. So did McIlroy. Putting was horrendous. Cantlay's a bit frustrating at the minute, I think. He sort of want to shake him and come on. I don't know, he's got that kind of, gets high on the leaderboard, then does a sort of slow drift away and can't quite kick on. And I think his price is short enough for what he's doing at the minute. Schauffele maybe as an each weigher, but Rahm doesn't really sort of do much in Florida, does he? And DJ's can be a bit hit and miss there. Rory, I don't trust at the minute. No, none of them really jumped off the page.
Rahm's form in Florida might not be good, but his current form is outstanding, isn't it, really? I mean,
yeah.
If second, 7-7-7, 13th and 5th, and his lost strokes putting the last 2 weeks as well. Approach play has been really good. We talked a little bit at the beginning of the year about the change in equipment for John Rahm, but it's not stopped him. You can't say he contended last week at the Genesis, but still finished 5th. And I get the feeling he's ready to win again.
Yeah, that's about 10 to 1 in a kind of part of the world, the States, where he's not showing what he has on the other side.
Has he got any good form in Florida, Dave?
Well, he did actually play in that NCAA back in 2015. He was, I think, 22nd in the individual event.
Right.
So he's seen the course before. He's got some. It's not terrible. He didn't play at all in Florida last year. But the last time he played, 2019, was 6th at the Valspar and 12th at the Players. The Players he was leading, wasn't he, going into the final round?
He hit that shot out. Can you remember the shot out of the bunker and the altercation with the caddy?
Yeah.
That was at Sawgrass, wasn't it? When he tried to, his caddy basically wanted him to lay up to a yardage of about 50 yards, didn't he? And he suggested that he could pull off a hook shot, which landed right in the middle of the in the water, and then blamed his caddy.
Yeah. It shot a third round 64 that year to take the lead, and then he ballooned to a 76 in round 4. So I don't know. I'm a bit suspicious why he never plays there.
Yeah. I tell you what, a couple that I thought you could definitely make cases for were Daniel Berger and Webb Simpson. If it's going to be short game and you're thinking Bermuda greens, and there's four really long par fives on this layout, but some people suggesting that at least a few of those are going to be three shotters, and then that brings Berger and Simpson definitely into the mix for me.
Yeah, Berger I definitely looked at. He won it so well, didn't he, at Pebble Beach? Final round 65, closed out with an eagle. The last time he won the first event after lockdown, he was third the following week, so he can kind of stay hot. His record in Florida is not as good as you think, though. Maybe you have a look back. He was fourth in the Honda last time, but that's his only top 20 since 2016 in Florida. I thought he'd be better than that.
Me too. I've got him down like as a kind of a Bermuda grass green Florida kind of guy.
But maybe he's someone who we need to maybe cut his career off a bit and think of him as like Daniel Berger, part 2.0, and that, the one that's quite an apt number if you're thinking he's kicked on since 2020. So yeah, he's a better player than he has been. He's definitely gone up a notch. So 28-1, yeah, I was close with him.
Any other players you want to mention before we move on, Dave?
No, I think we've done most of them. I think we've covered, we've got six different bets between us.
Yeah, we have. We have. We're paying seven places, top price on the top 10 in the market as well. So well worth having a look at the action in the WGC Workday Championship. Check out the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. We're going to have a quick line on the Puerto Rico Open. I know that this is by no means the event of the week. This is the run to the litter as far as that's concerned. But we've got time to have a quick word on it, and I'll spin you through the betting. Thomas Peters is the 14-1 clear favourite in Puerto Rico. Emiliano Grillo in that, Matt Wallace, Andy and Poulter, all 16-1. Brandon Grace is 18-1. Benny Arn is 20s. Andrew Putnam, 22s. Tom Lewis, 28s. Brandon Wu, 28-1. Patrick Rogers, 28-1. Johnny Vegas is 33s, along with Grayson Sig and Justin Sue. It's 35-1 and bigger the rest of them. This is a Tom Kite design golf course. It's newly titled as well. The Rio Grande is now the host course this week. And it's a pretty beefy par 72 on the coast, measuring nearly 7,600 yards. Victor Hovland made his breakthrough at the event last year, and obviously he's gone from strength to strength since then. And Bryson was second at this event back in 2017. We've had a real mix of players contending here, long and short, old and young, in the past few years. Any angles in for you this week, Dave?
No, it's a bit of a tricky event. Obviously, you know, coastal is an angle. It can get windy there. We've seen some discrepancies in the winning score. Maybe if you do look at who's won it or who's come close, there's some big names in there. There's some good names that, you know, DeChambeau and Tony Finau. Obviously, this is his only win.
Yeah.
But he was already a player that was highly regarded back then when he won. He'd already played well in majors. Mm. So yeah, I haven't got too much on this event, to be honest. I've got one pick.
Yeah, I've got one pick as well. I'm leaning on that fact that we have seen some emerging stars triumph or go close to triumphing at this venue in the past. And Justin Sue is my selection at 33-1. We haven't got a Morikawa, Wolf or Hovland in the field, I don't think, but Justin Sue has the potential to be one of the best players in this field, and I thought he was fair at 33-1. There aren't many that can boast the quality of form that he has recently in this lineup, coming off a 14th at the Corrales, backing that up with an 8th at the Shriners, then a more than respectable 37th in a deep field at the Farmers Insurance Open, and I thought he was worth a bet this week at 33-1.
Yeah. It's a funny field, isn't it? It's like a sort of PGA Tour event, lesser one, that's been invaded by a British stag do with kind of Poulter and Matt Wallace and Thomas Peters. I'm going to go for a Brit. I'm going to go for Tom Lewis at 28.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, lots of good form by the coast. We saw him way back in the day, didn't we? Lead the Open at Sandwich in 2011 when he played alongside Tom Watson. Mm. And he's won twice in Portugal by the coast. Got his PGA Tour card. And maybe I've sort of been influenced by the last time we saw him, finished 14th at Pebble Beach. So that was an excellent effort, again, obviously, by the coast. He'd also done okay at Torrey Pines, actually, 42nd. Wasn't a bad knock. And then he's built on that with 14th at Pebble. Some decent numbers there as well at Pebble Beach. He struck it really well off the tee, a decent approach. Tee to green was good. He has missed his one cut at this course, but don't want to put too much emphasis on that. He can be a little bit hit or miss, Tom Lewis, but I think this is a chance to really kind of prove himself in America. He hasn't quite got it going, but he's had a run at the start of the season there. He played the Farmers, the Phoenix, Pebble Beach, so maybe he's into a little bit of a groove, and certainly the top 15 at Pebble Beach in a good field turned my head a bit, and I thought in this field at 28 he was worth a small each way bet.
I like it, 28-1, Tom Lewis. One other player just stood out for me just before we wrap up here. The artist formerly known as Will Gordon, he's down as William Gordon on the sportsbook. 40-1, I thought, was fair for him. Really good driver of the golf ball, and he's shown up a couple of times in regular PGA Tour events as well. So Will Gordon just won for me at 40-1 if you're looking for another string to your bow this week as far as Puerto Rico is concerned.
Yeah.
Very good. Let's recap the selections then, starting with the picks in the WGC Workday Championship, Dave. I'll let you lead off here.
Yeah, so I'll go a point and a half each way on DeChambeau at 20s, and then a point each way on Patrick Reed at 28s and Matt Fitzpatrick at 50s.
I'm going to go a point each way, Tommy Fleetwood at 40-1, a point each way, Justin Rose at 55-1, and half a point each way, Gary Woodland. Well, for some reason, it cut off the end of the podcast at this point. Gary Woodland is 125-1. Just to recap, the selections in Puerto Rico as well. We're both having half a point each way on the two picks. Dave went with Tom Lewis at 28-1. I went with Justin Suh at 33-1. So that's the recap. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to the podcast. Do check out the full range of markets at williamhill.com and on the app ahead of this week's golf. Don't forget as well, on the WGC events, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10 in the market with William Hill, and we are paying 7 places for your each way bets as well. Thank you for tuning in, and myself and Dave, we will be back next week. If you're having a bet this week, good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.